You know, Dorsey, he's out. Quinn can do individuals, but, you know, there's no contact involved with him. Brandon Albert has a tight back, and he'll be a little limited today. Maneri is still working with his ankle. And, you know, our head and neck guys from the last game, they all worked yesterday, and we'll work again today. So we are preparing for the Steelers on Monday night, and that's what all the focus is and has been and will be until we get to Monday night. So with that, go ahead.
Yesterday, when we talked to Brady, Quinn said that he knew that he had an issue for a few plays before he eventually came out of the game, and probably it affected the fact that he couldn't see a play on a sack and maybe affected his throw. Is that something that you would talk about now or raise awareness now with, like, Matt or your other quarterback or Ricky, that, hey, you get tunnel vision or something, you got to come and tell me? Because he played with what he said was damaged vision for, like, four plays.
Yeah, well, I would expect that they would come and say something about that rather than go back into the game, you know, knowing that they could possibly injure themselves, and then the performance of the team might be affected as well. But the main focus is, you know, the safety of the player. And we have to educate the players about that fact, that the league has taken a strong stance on it, and we are concerned about their safety, and that's the most important thing. And so we don't expect them to be macho guys in that respect. If you're injured, all right, come tell us, and then we'll put somebody else in the game and play the game rather than risk your injury.
Is it something you'd reiterate with them now, maybe?
Yes, I will.
Is it practical matter when there someone has an injury like Quinn did in that game? How do you become aware of it? Does Dave Price tell you? Does the position coach tell you? Does Dave tell you?
No. Dave tells me when the player is out, when the player is out, or he'll say the player got an injury and we're looking at it, and I'll let you know when he's ready to go back, if he can go back. And so that's the process. Sometimes what happens in the course of a game, if a guy gets dinged up and he's not acting the way he should act, other players around, they notice it, and then when they come to the side, they say, look at this guy, you know, he's not quite right, you know, and then you take a look at him, and I think with the Quinn situation, that's what occurred, you know, in that situation. The players noticed that he wasn't right, and informed us that he wasn't right, and so now then we look at him, and we talk to him, and find out that he has an issue, and then he was taken out of the game.
When did this happen? Do you recall in his case?
When did what?
Players make you or Dave or whoever aware of it?
I'm not exactly sure of the time frame on when they told Dave or when they said something about it. I'm not sure about that, but I just know that it was in the first quarter that Dave came to me and told me that he was out.
It's kind of a weird line right there, though, isn't it, Romeo? I mean, guys want to save their jobs. Like, you know, Ray worked really hard to get a second opportunity. He gets one, and then he gets knocked out. I mean, and you talk about you don't want these guys to be macho guys, but that's exactly what they are. I mean, they probably would beat at this point. I mean, it's sort of a different territory that the NFL's going into. And how do you say, okay, hey, you need to suck it up and you need to get back in there, and at the same time say, hey, no, don't go back in?
Well, you know what is a thin line that we have to walk, that the players have to walk, but they have to understand that there was a phrase. It's an old phrase as it relates to football about knowing the difference between pain and injury, you know, and I think that's what players have to know. You know, if I get banged up and it hurts a little bit, but if I get banged up and I'm injured, now then I need to come out of the game, you know, and so, but that is a thin line, and more emphasis has been put on the head trauma, and rightfully so, and so we are still learning as we go through this, you know.
Well, you talked yesterday a little bit about what made the Steelers what they are. That doesn't seem like a terribly difficult thing for other teams to duplicate. How difficult is it to do what the Steelers have done over the years, the way they've done it?
Well, I think that if you look around the league, all right, and to be able to maintain the continuity and the consistency that they've been able to do, how many teams, you can probably count them on your hand, that have that kind of consistency. You know, in the NFL, about 30% of the teams will change coaches every year. And so it's hard to develop, you know, the kind of consistency that the Steelers have, that I know that the Giants used to have, you know, that there are some other teams in this league with that kind of consistency.
Do you think the fact they've had three head coaches in 40 years or whatever it is?
Well, I think that helps maintain consistency. No, it's not. It's not only the head coaches. You know, it's the organization. They have a philosophy, and boom, like I told you yesterday, from top to bottom, they have good people. Everybody's on the same page. You know, and all those things that have to occur to make a team a good team.
So, what's kept this franchise these last 4 years? From, I mean, it got in 2010, and now it's this. What do you think kept this organization from?
Well, I've only been here three, so I don't know exactly what happened, you know, in that fourth year or the first year before I got here, you know, but I saw some progress, and like you say, we got to the playoffs, and we weren't able to repeat it the second year, and then this year we're really struggling this year, you know. The only thing that I can do is try to improve the lot that I have right now. And so we got 8 games, and if we can get it turned around in 8 games, then we can say that there's a chance that this organization can move forward.
Would you say that it's that the Steelers' ability to draft guys and develop them has played a role in that? That their continued success is predicated largely on being able to make the right choices in the draft?
Well, it's never just one thing. It's always a combination and a total. It's draft, it's developing players, it's coaching players, it's players taking ownership. It's the whole gambit, you know, and when you talk about an organization being a solid, good organization, all of those things are involved in it.
Is it more difficult to get free agents necessarily to come in and buy in? As opposed to having a guy who's drafted and who's kind of homegrown?
Well, if you draft a guy, you can mold him because he's a lot younger and hasn't been exposed to as much. You know, sometimes when you go get guys from other places, they have a predetermined notion about who they are and about how they should fit, and sometimes they have to adapt and adjust to your system. Some guys can make that transition smoothly. Other guys struggle with the transition. And when you see it all the time in the NFL, you know, teams bring guys in and then they let guys go because of those reasons I just mentioned.
With free agency and the draft and the depth of scouting nowadays, shouldn't it be easier to build a team than ever before?
Well, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it, you know, and like we've talked before, if you just take the draft, first-round draft choices, you know, first-round quarterbacks, only 50% of them make it. If it were easy, there'd be 100% of the guys made it. But it's not an exact science that we're dealing with.
What about Sean Smith back to the locker room? I know he's been here about a week, but when you listen to him, he brings that energy. Is this what the locker room's missing, a guy like that that's not been here?
Well, I think Sean's experience can be helpful, you know, to this team, and that's because of his experience, and he knows the system. That's one of the reasons he's back.
Tell me about Mike Wallace. That guy's fast. And how does he compare? And you know, you see him on tape. I mean, how fast is he?
Well, you have better eyes than I have because he's so fast. I haven't seen him on tape yet. He's a blur, you know. That's how fast he is. He's really fast, and it makes it difficult to defend him because he has that kind of speed, you know. So you got to stay back, or either he runs past you, and when you stay back, then he stops and hooks it up in front of you, and then it's a catch and run. So you're kind of between the rock and a hard place when you're trying to defend that kind of speed, you know. So what you have to do is you have to try to affect the quarterback to try to get him off the spot and destroy some of the timing, which is tough with Ben because he's a big, strong quarterback in the pocket, knows how to move, doesn't go down easy, you know. So it's a tough task.
What's going to be kind of your role on the sideline now that Yuri Gibbs is calling defensive plays? You're going to be, you know, spending some time over on defense and then spending some more time on offense as well as special teams, kind of making the circuits on Monday?
Yes, on Sunday also, you know. But what I envision is, because as a defensive coordinator, you kind of you try to get to the defensive guys and make some adjustments and talk to guys about what you saw, what they are seeing, and while the offense is going on, and then you go, you know, try to catch up with the offense. So I envision that I'll be able to work between all three phases and stay with them and be able to encourage and make suggestions and go from there.
Gives you more of a chance to talk to the individual players during the game as before?
Yes.
Last one, Coach Gibbs,
on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
You prefer your coordinators on the sideline, or does it matter?
It really doesn't matter. I think some guys operate better from upstairs because they feel like that they have great vision of the field and can see everything. Some guys would rather be down on the field because they get a feel of the players, what their attitude is, and if he can encourage them, you know, from on the field, it works better. So each coordinator is different. So you kind of do what the coordinator thinks is best for himself to be able to do the job that he has to do.
Now, what are his eyes? I'm sorry, Ron. What are his eyes there? You know, because the sideline's a pretty awful place to watch a football game.
But we have competent people upstairs who are able to give us good information. Otis Smith and Adam Zimmer, and they'll continue to do that, and they're sharp young minds, and they see a lot of things. They make good suggestions, and they're good coaches.
You think you're confident this will work with Gary doing this and you doing your new role? You confident we'll see the difference in the football team?
I hope so. You know, otherwise, why do it?